Amen. Well, this morning we have a special treat because this morning we are going to have Corey come and bring the word to us this morning. We began a series last week on the doctrine of man. I told you last week that we were going to look at every sermon was going to be created something. Last week we saw that we were created in the image of God. And this morning we are going to see that we have been created for work. And so I wanted to reach out to those in our midst who have expertise in certain areas that I may not have as much in. And so when we started thinking about created for work, I wanted to reach out to Corey and let Corey come and bring the word this morning. Now, we talked and we joked about the fact that this was just going to further the old joke of the pastor only works one day a week. I get that. And that's not true, by the way. But I do realize that my work is unique and that I am just blessed by the Lord to get to spend my time studying the Word for a living. That is unique and I'm aware of that. That is a privilege and a high calling that I am grateful to the Lord for bringing to me and giving to me. So I wanted to bring to you someone who is not only a preacher of the Word, but also works a full-time, regular job like so many of you do. And I wanted Corey to be able to bring this aspect of created to work to you from the Word. And so Corey, come and share the Word with us. We look forward to seeing what the Lord has to say through you.
Well, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
And thank you for the introduction. This morning we are going to continue in the doctrine of man. And as we'll say, we're going to see that this morning that we were created for work. And so we're going to be in the book of Genesis this morning. Chapter 2 is, for the most part, we're going to be. We're going to be all over the place. I don't expect you to flip along with me everywhere we're going to be this morning. The Bible, as I began to prepare for this message, one of the things I really quickly realized was just how much the Bible has to say about work. And so if I was to try to fit all of that into a sermon, we would be here until about 5 o'clock. So I figured we'll try to cut it off about 2. That's all right. All right, so Genesis chapter 2 is where we will be this morning. And just to kind of bring us back up to speed of where we left off last week, the one thing that we learned last week as we started the doctrine of man was that we are created in the image of God. Okay? The first thing we see about man in the Bible is that mankind is created and it was created in God's image. And it says in Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created. And so it's very clear that we were created in the image of God last week. And so this week, as I said, what we're going to see is that we were created to work. So Genesis chapter 2 is where we'll be. I'm going to pray, and then we're just going to jump in. So join with me. Father, we just thank you for, Lord, this opportunity, Lord, that you give us each and every day. Father, we thank you for this opportunity you have given us to gather together this morning in your name, Lord, to worship you through song and, Lord, through your word. Father, we pray that as we dive into your word, Father, we just pray that you prepare us, Lord, for you to speak to us. Father, I pray that you would use every word that comes out of my mouth to bring you glory this morning. Father, I pray that your word is clearly communicated and nothing more or less. Father, we pray for Lord, our hearts to be ready to respond to what we hear this morning. And Father, we just thank you for all that you did, especially for Christ and that sacrifice that was made on the cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to dive right in Genesis chapter 2. We're just going to read the first 3 verses to start with. And it says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the 7th day, God finished his work and that he had done, and he rested on the 7th day from all his work that he had done. And so the first thing we're going to see this morning as we dive into this, this morning, we're going to see that God created work. Okay? God created work. It's not some concept that mankind came up with. It's not something that just kind of happened, this creation rolling into place. What we see at first in Genesis, as we look at it in Genesis chapter 1, is we see God busy at work creating. Okay? So we have nothing to do with work being created. God created work. Okay? And so that's the first thing that we need to realize and understand as we dive into this morning. Verse 2 states that on the seventh day God finished his work that he had done, and he rested from his work on the seventh day. The book of Genesis displays in great detail the work of God in creation, but his work does not end there. All of Scripture continues to display and highlight the mighty works of God. But one thing is made clear in these verses is that God is a worker. Look at verse 3. It says, "So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all of his work in creation." So if God is our creator, then work is a part of our genetics. It's in our DNA, right? Because we're created in his image and God is at work. Okay? And so he's the worker. We are his work. Okay? We are created by him. We are a result of his work. And God created work. Alright, so that's the first thing we want to hammer on. Okay? Work was something that's created by God. Alright, the second thing we're going to see this morning is that God intends for us to work. Okay? God intends for us to work. Alright, look at verse 7. It says, "Then the Lord formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature." Verse 8. "And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden, in the east. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every plant that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life is in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Alright, now jump down with me to verse 15. Says the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Okay? So as we look at verses 7-9 and 15 through 17, what we see, in verse 8, it says, "Immediately God, after he formed the man, he gave him life, and God planted a garden, and he placed the man in it." Okay? And we see that. And we notice even in verse 15, it says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and to keep it." Okay? So from the very beginning, God intended it, all right, for man to work. And notice that God did not build a resort. Okay, he didn't set up some lounge chairs on the beach or lay a handout for the man. He didn't give him a set of golf clubs and say, "Here, hit the golf course for the rest of your life." All right, no, God created man, and then he gave him a job. Okay? He created man and he put him to work. All right, so we see this is the design before the fall. Okay, it's important to realize that this was God's intention from the beginning. All right, God's intention from the beginning was not, just take it easier. God's intention from the beginning was not for us to be on vacation for all of our lives. Okay, God's intention from the very beginning of creation was that man would go to work. Okay, he gave him a job. And so verse 15 makes it clear, this is the intention, his intention, to place the man there to work it and to keep it. Okay? The third thing that we're going to notice this morning is that work was cursed by the fall. Okay? Work was cursed by the fall. Just like every good gift of God that it is given to man, okay, sin distorts it. And so, in Genesis chapter 3, we see Adam and Eve eat of the fruit of the one tree that God commanded them not to, and brought sin into the world. Isn't it amazing that God, it always blows my mind. If you read back through the other account, what you see is you see that God creates this awesome garden, and it says that every tree, okay, that was placed there was pleasant to the sight. All right, so it was pretty to look at. All right, not only that, it was good for food. All right, so everything that God placed there was awesome. All right, and there was one tree that God placed in the garden and said, "Hey, you can eat of all of these, okay? But there's just one over here. There's just one. And that one, I command you not to eat of, because it's going to bring you death. Like, it's bad for you. It's going to be bad for you." All right? And what does the man say? "Oh, that's the one I can't have. That's the one I want." Right? "Oh, I can't have all these, but I want that one." Right there. And so, we see Adam and Eve eat of the fruit of the tree knowledge of good and evil, and sin is ushered in at that point. And so, as we see that take place in Genesis 3, 17 and 19, you'll follow along with me, we see that work is cursed by the fall. "And to Adam he said, 'Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field.'" Verse 19, "By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." So we see, as a result of the fall, we see the results are that work is going to get difficult. Work becomes hard. Okay? And so, as a result of the fall, work becomes difficult. We see two changes when it comes to the result of the fall. Okay, the first one is that work now fights back. Work is hard. Work is difficult. All right, and now the ground is cursed, and it's going to require sweat and pain. It's not easy. Okay, that's the first change. And it doesn't matter what kind of work you do or how fulfilling your job is. It's going to be hard and frustrating at times. Anybody agree with
that? Amen.
So it's going to be hard, it's going to be frustrating, it's going to be difficult at times. It doesn't matter what you do or how easy your job should be. It doesn't matter how much you love what you do. It's going to be hard at times. It's going to be difficult. That's the first change that we see as a result of the fall. The second one is work now must be guarded from temptation. Okay? Work now must be guarded from temptation. Alright, we're going to look at three ways, okay, that we must guard against temptation. Alright, we're going to look at three temptations, in other words. Temptation one is the temptation to earn a living by some sort of dishonest or sinful way that may be harmful to others. Okay? That's the first temptation. Right? And for example, this could be something major like slavery or sex trafficking, okay? Or even like pornography. Okay? We see that there are businesses out there and people out there that make lots and lots of money, okay? Drugs. Alright? Things that make lots of money by causing harm to people or oppressing people. Okay? Or some type of dishonest gain. It could even be something as simple as lying to people just to sell them a product that you know won't do what it says it. Or cheating employees on time or wages just to make more for each other. Okay? The Bible has strict warnings on those. that earn a living for dishonest means or oppression.
Okay.
And I'm just going to share one for you. This is Proverbs 14:31. It says, whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him. And so we see that as we, if we engage in these types of practices, we fall into these types of temptations. All right, when it comes to dishonest gain or lying or things like that, we see that we're not insulting just that person, but we're insulting their maker. We're insulting God. So that's the first temptation we see. Second temptation that we see is to be lazy. Right? It's to be lazy. Now that work has become hard and frustrating at times, we're tempted often to do as little as we have to get by, right? Or sometimes, even less than that, tend to do nothing, right? Take a day off, not take a job. Okay, the Bible has a lot to say about laziness. I mean, a lot. Just read through the book of Proverbs. You'll get plenty of what the Bible thinks about laziness. But laziness is summarized like this: by misusing or underusing gifts given to us by God to be used in service to Him or to others. Okay, remember that. Laziness is summarized by misusing or underusing gifts given to us by God to be used in service to Him or others. And so what we see is the gifts that we can give. All right, the abilities that we have, okay. One thing I just want to make very clear and understand is like the ability that we each and every one of us have, we might have worked hard to learn something, okay. We might have worked hard to, you know, pass the test and to get the education that we needed to do what we do. But one thing that we need to make sure we understand, is that the abilities that we have, okay, to comprehend things, the abilities that we have to be able to make things with our hands, communicate with people, those abilities are a gift from God. Okay? They're not ours.
Right?
None of us, like, was in our mother's womb and said, hey, you know, God, I want to be like this. I want to be gifted in this way. I want to be talented in this way. I want to have this kind of ability. Right? That doesn't happen. We don't do that. The things that we've been given, the ability we've been given, all right, the smarts, okay, the wisdom, the back that we have, whatever we use to make a living and to work with, like those things have been given to us by God. They're not ours. All right, so those gifts that we've been given by God, okay, they're not just for our benefit.
Amen.
They're for the benefit of us serving God and serving others. Okay. And so when we take something that God has given to us and we misuse it or don't use it to serve God and serve others, then that is the definition of laziness. Okay. And so we really want to understand that and let that sink in. Okay. And we'll get to that a little bit more in a few minutes. But listen to what Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11 says on laziness. It says, go to the ant, old slug, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, old slug? When you arise from your sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a rock and want like an armed man. And see, laziness won't only be a rejection of God's plan for our life, but it will also cause poverty to come upon us for us to go without the basic things, which work is the means which God has given to us to earn a living, to feed ourselves, to do this. Okay? 1 Thessalonians 3:10 says, for even when we were with you, Paul speaking to the church, he says, even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. Okay? If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. This is the Bible view on laziness. Okay? So, because it's hard, we're tempted to be lazy. We despise work sometimes, we complain, we're tempted to cheat others, and we even oftentimes feel entitled. Temptation 3. Third temptation is that we are tempted to worship work. That we're tempted to worship work. This is the area where most of us probably struggle the most in this context, in this culture. We live in a society and culture that elevates education, careers, and financial status above all others, right? Just think about the conversations that we had with our friends. Think about the conversations like, oh, who's that guy? Oh, that's Bob. Right? Bob's a doctor. Bob's got this. Bob's got, he makes this much money a year. Right? He lives in a 4,000 square foot house. He's got another house with fees. He's got 6 cars, 12 boats. He's got it all. Right? And that's how we introduce people. Right? By what they do, how much money they make, and what they have. Okay. What we're really should be concerned about is that Bob works 7 days a week, doesn't know Jesus, has had 4 marriages, 3 kids, 2 of them we don't talk to, and 1's dead. Right? That's what we should be more concerned about. So, it's really easy for us to fall into this temptation to worship work. Right? Especially if we're really gifted at our job. Right? If you're really good at what you do, then you get a sense of accomplishment when you show up to work every day. You feel important. You feel needed. It's easy to follow. And let's face it, it's a whole lot easier to be good at our job than it is to raise a teenager, right? Anybody ever raise one? Yeah, amen. I figured it'd be a lot louder than that. Yeah. Or to try to make, my wife happy if she's pregnant, 8 months pregnant, and this woman doesn't even know what she's happy, right? It's a lot easier to go to work than it would be to be at home and be trying to figure out how to raise a teenager, right? And to deal with, wife who's miserable because she's able to look pregnant, right? It's easier to just go to work and pour into work and to feel important and to feel needed. So it's an easy temptation for us to fall into. So we just go to work. We know how to do our jobs. And we don't even have to mention that the more we work, the more money we make, the more stuff we buy, right? There's a temptation in there as we worship work to begin to worship material things. And we begin to work so we can have more, right? For ourselves. Scripture will teach us, and we'll get into this later, but Scripture will teach us that it's okay to work. It's good to work, right? It's good. Money is not the problem. Making money is good, right? But not to make and earn just for ourselves. Right? Scripture will tell us that we make and earn the wage so that we can do it for others. So it's easy to fall into this temptation. Even within the church in America today, people are much more concerned with their children's education, their team statistics, their career path, than they are whether or not their children know Jesus or even pick up their Bible. Gordon Dow says in his book, Work, Play, and Worship, that Americans tend to worship their work. Work at their play, and play at their worship. How sad is it that when we can find 50, 60, 70 hours of work, to work, but we struggle to make it to church to worship on Sunday? Right? How sad is it that we struggle to find 15, 20, 30 minutes a day to spend in God's Word. Right? But we can work 10, 12, 14 hours a day. We can work on our hobbies 6, 7, 8 hours a day. Right? If we're not careful, we'll begin to worship work rather than the one that we were created to worship. So, we must not worship our work, but rather worship God through our work. If we're not careful, the results of the fall when it comes to work will cause us to be dishonest, even oppressive, to be lazy, or even to worship our work rather than our Creator. Fourth thing we see this morning is that Christ redeems work. That Christ redeems work. We all have been affected by the curse of the fall. Right? We've all been affected by the curse of the fall. We're all born sinners. Although work has been marred by the fall, it is redeemed by Christ. And I'm reminded of this as I read Titus 2:11-14 says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works." So in that passage, we just see that the work of Christ and how it plays out. And even though we are cursed by the fall, we are cursed by sin, okay, we are redeemed in Christ. And even work is redeemed in Christ. And although we struggle with temptations that we discussed above, the work of Christ and the Word of God can prevail in our lives and our work if we surrender ourselves to it. So, we're going to conclude, and I'm going to give you some just bullet points of application. Okay? And I want to, if you're a note taker, like this is the place that you want to take this. You can go back and look. I'm not going to have time to go through all the verses that I'm going to mention. But if you go back and look at them, pull them up, you'll be able to see, you know, how I've drawn some of these conclusions with that decision. These are just some practical application for you. First one being, you have been created, gifted, and saved to work for the glory of God. Okay? I'm going to repeat that. You have been created, gifted, and saved to work for the glory of God. Okay? Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men." 1 Corinthians 10:31, "So whatever you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God." So believers, the first thing that we see is that we were created, we are gifted and saved to work for the glory of God. Okay? So when you roll into work tomorrow morning, alright, happy Monday morning, right? Right, we have the saying, you know, "Thank God it's Friday," right? Because we've learned to despise work. Right? We don't. Nobody runs around saying, "Thank God it's Monday." But we've been given an opportunity. Right, Monday is the start of the work week for most of us. Right, and we roll in on Monday morning, and we need to realize that when we roll into the office tomorrow morning, right, we can give an opportunity by God. Right? We can be gifted to do what we do because of God. God has given us the ability to work. Right? Go talk to someone who's lost their ability to be able to go to work after they've worked for 20, 25, 30 years. Right? And they will tell you they did anything to be able to go back to work and to do, it might not be the same job that they had, but they would do anything to go to work again and to take it from them. Okay? Tomorrow morning, you roll into work and you get an opportunity. The opportunity is to glorify God. Okay? And so, it doesn't matter what you're doing tomorrow, whether you're teaching kids, whether you're driving nails, whether you are sweeping floors, like you have an opportunity in your work tomorrow morning to bring glory to God. It can be done by the way you do your job. Done by the way that you communicate and talk to others, okay? But just remember, when you roll in, that you are a child of God, you are called, you are gifted, you are created to bring glory to God through your work, okay? That's so easy to forget. I've just got to the point in my life over the last couple of years where I can't stand to be around people that would walk into work and it's just one complaint after another complaint after another complaint. And all it takes is one person to walk in and start speaking about something good, just bringing up a good aspect, and it changes the whole attitude. Okay? So, guess who that's called? Like, guess who that person should be?
If you.
If you're a child of God. Alright? You're a Christian, that's you. So, first thing is, we have been created, gifted, and saved to work for the glory of God. The second one is, work is a gift from God. This is easily forgotten. Okay? I don't know how many people that actually think that work is the result of the curse, okay, from sin. Like works, and work is after. Like the fall. Right? The work was from the beginning. Work was intended from the very beginning. We were made and created for it. Right? It is a gift. Work is a gift. Ecclesiastes 3 says, I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. This is God's gift to man. You can also look at Proverbs 14:23 or Proverbs 16:3. These verses will also just hammer home the fact that work is a gift from God. I mean, how else will we pay the bills or put food on the table? Right? It's a gift. Work is a gift. Third thing, your work is to be a service to God and to others. Okay? To say that again. Your work is to be a service to God and to others. Okay? You can see Colossians 3:23, 1 Corinthians 10:31. All right. Your work is to be a service to God. Okay. So, I don't know what everybody does. I know what several of you do for a living. But sometimes we forget that what we're doing, okay, the work that we're doing, it's a service to others. Okay? We're doing it for the glory of God, right? If we're doing it within, the confines of what we talked about earlier, right? We're not doing it dishonestly. We're not involved in something that's oppressive to people. Like, if we're doing work the right way, okay, then we're working hard. We're doing our best when we show up. Or we're leaving things better than we found, and all those types of things. Like, we're doing our work to the glory of God. But we also need to be reminded that we are working to serve others. Okay? What you do every day, it makes a difference in someone else's life. Okay? And many of you know, like, I run this church good job for a customer, and we show up, and most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, we can make or break that job in the eyes of the customer just based upon how well we clean up the job. We could have used shoddy wood and everything that we built. We could have put up recall, drywall. We could have just botched everything else so that the job was clean and the customer's happy. Right? But if the job was done extremely, we used top quality, upgraded all of the materials that we used, but we left the job dirty, then it doesn't matter what else we do, right? It doesn't matter how well the walls are put up. The job was left dirty, okay? And so I'm constantly reminding marketers, we've got to clean it, That makes us a big deal to our customers, okay? Got to keep it clean. You got to pick up behind ourselves. Make sure all the trash is picked up. Those are the things that matter more, to them. It doesn't so matter much to us, but it matters to them. Okay? So we need to remember that what we're doing is a service to us. We're serving others as we serve God through our work. Work is also a service to our family. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if anyone does not provide for his own relatives, especially members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than unbeliever. Man, that is, that cuts. That's harsh. Amen. Right there. Yes. It says, if anyone does not provide for his own relatives, especially members of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than unbeliever. That gives you an idea of how serious, the service and the work that we do matters. Work is also a service to others, and to have something to give to others. Okay? Work is a service to others, and to have something to give. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. You can also look to Galatians 5, 13, 2 Thessalonians 3, 10 through 12, and Titus 3, 14. That work to serve to others and to have something to give. Fourth point is work is a testimony. So that work is a testimony. So if you look at Ephesians 4:28, we're going to look now at Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in you both to will and do the work for his good pleasure. Do all things, verse 14, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. That passage really helps us see and understand that if you're a child of God, you're a believer, then even the way that you show up and do your work, okay, without grumbling, without complaining, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, you shine as lights in the world. Okay? So the way you carry yourself at work, you're speaking to the fact that you're a child of God or not. Okay? The way you carry yourself at work, unbeliever, you work with unbelievers, and I imagine most of them probably do, right? Then you're going to see that they're watching you constantly. That they know you're a Christian, they know you're a believer. They're constantly looking at how you're going to react and what you're asking. And if they don't see any difference in you than the rest of the world, what meaning would they have for Christ?
had a great need for Christ. We all had a great need for Christ.
And the way that we show up and work and things that come out of our mouth and things that we say, the way that we serve others is a testimony to the fact that we have Christ in us. Right. So, work is a testimony to others. Fifth one. Work apart from Christ will leave us in. If the only reason we're showing up at that job is to make a paycheck, or because we have to, right? Or we got some payments to make, some bills to pay, right? That's the only reason we're showing up at that job. Or maybe we're just trying to make a bunch of money. Maybe we're just trying to put a bunch of money in my name or buy a bunch of toys. Like, if that's the only purpose we have for showing up, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be rough. It's going to leave us empty. Okay? Ecclesiastes 2:24 says there is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also, I saw, is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to the one who pleases God. This also is vanity and striving after the wind. That passage just helps us and just declares to us that if the only reason we're working is for selfish gain, apart from Christ, working apart from Christ, it's just going to be a never-ending cycle. We're constantly going to be striving after something that cannot be grasped, because we're never going to be fulfilled in what we do apart from Jesus. Okay? We're never going to be fulfilled with life, with our family, with our work, with whatever, fill in the blank. We're never going to find fulfillment and joy in us unless that comes from Christ. That passage says, for apart from him, verse 25, for apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? The answer is no. Apart from Christ, it doesn't exist.
Amen.
It's a constant cycle. Working, striving, doesn't seem to get anywhere. Or enough's never enough. Because we're working for all the wrong reasons and without Christ. The sixth thing is that work has rewards. Okay? Like, it's important that we understand. I'm not just sitting here saying that. And all that you ever are to do is just work for God, and do everything for God, and there's no rewards for that. Like, just keep on going, even though it's a difficult part, like, there's nothing to be gained. Like, that is not the case. There are rewards for those that work. Okay? Colossians 3:24 tells us, knowing that from the Lord you will receive inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. We could also look at 2 Timothy 2:6, Proverbs 14:23, Proverbs 16:3, Proverbs 12:1, Psalm 128:2. And what you'll see is, even as we saw in Ecclesiastes, that when we work and we put some groceries on the table, right? There's the income. Like, we do that for the Lord. We're doing that. We've got a relationship with Jesus. Like, even, I mean, we sit out with over here with our family and we say the blessing and we give thanks to God a lot, because He's given us the ability to go to work and to be able to bring food home and enjoy it with our family. Okay. That's a reward.
Amen.
Okay. There are rewards
for our work, but our rewards for the work of the Lord. And there's even eternal rewards, okay, for those that are surrendered to Jesus and work hard for Him. Okay? And I want you to understand that. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you and praise you for all that you have done. We thank you and praise you for every good gift, Lord, because we know that every good gift comes from you. Father, we confess, Lord, I think most all of us would confess that in the day-to-day grind and the busyness of life, Lord, we often forget just what an amazing opportunity we've been given, a gift that we've been given, Lord, to be able to go to work. And Lord, the abilities that you've given us to work and to earn and to be able to provide, Lord, for our families and to provide for others. Lord, it's an amazing gift that you've given to us. And so, Father, we just want to just thank you for those gifts. And Lord, we want to confess, Lord, that we have not always remembered just that they are gifts from you. And that we were created by you and for you. We were created to work. And so, Father, I pray that as we show up to work, whether it's tomorrow morning or the next opportunity we have, Father, I pray that we remember that we are there for your glory. And Father, we're there to serve you and we're there to serve others. But Lord, apart from Christ, there is no fulfillment. There is no joy. And so, Father, I pray that if there's anyone here that does not know you and has not yet surrendered themselves to you in your plan for their life and for their salvation, that, Lord, they will do that today. Lord, you know who they are, or you may even be speaking to them now. But, Lord, I pray that we'll not waste the opportunity that you have provided, Lord, for them to know you and know what it means to work for your glory, with you, and for your reward. Father, we thank you for all that you do. We especially thank you for Jesus and the work that he accomplished on the cross. And so, Father, we just lift this up to you. Father, we pray that you would, Lord, just help us to respond in a way that worships you, that glorifies you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.